I want to certainly ask your prayers today, and I want to call your attention to some scripture found in Matthew chapter 22. And we had spoken about this a few times throughout this past week when we had met here for our vacation Bible school classes. In the adult class, I know this was mentioned, these scriptures were mentioned several times because we were studying on the commandments, the Ten Commandments, this past week. And in Matthew chapter 22, beginning with verse 34, it says, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he," that is Jesus, "had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.'" And so that is reading from Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40 for a scripture reading this morning. And I want to take just a little bit of time, and I'm going to try to hurry along as much as I can because I know we have a lot to do today. But I want to take just a little bit of time and speak about, and I want you to think about this question. I want to use this question as a title. What does God accept? What does God accept? And truly, that's what we all need to be concerned with. That's what the entire human family needs to be concerned with, is what will God accept from me? Because he's the one that we're going to have to stand before one day and give account to. And, you know, I'm not worried so much about the judgment of men upon my life, but I certainly think much about the judgment of God upon my life and upon my ministry, and the things that we, you know, endeavor to do ought to be that which would please the Lord. He's the one that we ought to be seeking to please. And so I want you to think about that because there, I believe that we are taught in the scriptures that what we do for the Lord, that we must do it wholly. We must do it completely in order for him to accept it. You know, sometimes, and you may have heard this, but you may have heard, well, you know, all God expects me to do is try. All God expects me to do is put forth an effort. But I'm going to tell you, that's not true. That's not what the scriptures tell us. God expects us to put forth our very best effort. God expects us to try our hardest and to give our all to everything that we do. Listen, everything that we give to the Lord ought to be given with all of our heart. Everything that we ask of the Lord, we ought to ask of him with all of our heart. Everything that we do for him in serving the Lord ought to be done with all of our heart. And I'm persuaded from the things that we read in the scriptures that that's the only way that God will accept it. Now, when they asked Jesus this question, when these Pharisees and these Sadducees, and they were not sincere in what they were asking him anyway, they were just trying to, as the Bible says, to test him, or even to trip him up, and we can see there how silly and how foolish they were in their thoughts, because I'm going to tell you something. If you wanted to try to fight a battle of wits with somebody, Jesus Christ was not the one to choose to fight that battle with. They were not going to confuse him or trip him up about anything. But that's why, that's the manner in which they ask him, that's the spirit, if you will, in which they ask him this question, just tempting him. And they said, well, what's the greatest commandment that were given in the law? And Jesus said, well, it is to love the Lord. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord. Now, the Bible tells us that all the law is fulfilled in love. Love is the fulfilling of the law. And so Jesus answered them, and he said, the greatest commandment is this, to love the Lord thy God. How? To love him with all your heart. To love him with everything that you have. To love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And if we go back, and I want to talk just a moment about how that we come to know the Lord. And the scriptures tell us that if we're going to find the Lord, then we have to seek the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, I believe in verse 7 there, he said, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Knock, and it shall be opened. Seek, and ye shall find. And so nobody ever finds the Lord without first seeking the Lord. You must be a seeker in order to be a finder. But there is a way that the scriptures teach us that we must seek the Lord. And one of my favorite verses, I believe, concerning this is found in the fourth chapter of Deuteronomy in verse 29. And it explains there that we are to seek the Lord the same way that Jesus said here that we are to love the Lord. And that verse says, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord, thou shalt find him if thou seek him with all thy soul, with all thy heart, and with all thy soul. And so, listen, there has never been anybody saved. There's never been anybody that has come to know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin that had just, maybe they had just a little bit of desire in their heart. There's never been anybody that has sought after the Lord and said, well, I would kind of like to know him. It's not really that big of a thing to me, but I would kind of like to know him. There's never been anybody that has been successful in finding the Lord with a half-hearted search. God requires of us, in order to be saved, God requires of us that we turn away from ourselves completely. That's what repentance does for us, that we turn away from sin, we turn away from self, we turn away from our desires, we turn away from worldly things, and we turn to the Lord, that we turn to him. And how do we have to turn to him? We have to turn to him with all of our heart. And I'm going to say this to anybody here today that is lost and without the Lord, if you want to know him, if you want to be saved by God's grace, you will have to seek God with everything that you have and everything that you are. You'll have to give everything to the Lord in order to be saved. If there's one thing in your life that means more to you than knowing the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin, then you're never going to know him. If there's something, whatever it might be, if it's wealth, if it's fame, whatever that it might be, if there's something that means more to you than the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're not going to find him. But if you will surrender all to him and seek after him with all that you have and all that you are, he'll save. He'll save. And, those of us that have, those of us that have sought the Lord and found him, we know that to be the truth. The song that we sing from time to time. Oftentimes, when we're in revival, when someone's seeking the Lord, we sing this song, I surrender all. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to surrender everything to the Lord in order to be saved. We've got to seek Him with our whole heart in order for Him to accept us. And listen, that's what's really important. You know, the religious world around us, they've got it backwards. It's not us accepting, it's not the sinner accepting the Savior, it's the Savior accepting the sinner. We've got to turn to Him and seek Him with all that we have in order to be saved. But you know what? When God saves us, and I want John Peter and Hannah today, as they are baptized here in a little while and become members of the church, I want them to know this today. I want them to understand this, and I pray that they will follow this. But listen, when we have been saved and we put our light on the candlestick, we unite with the church, we receive scriptural baptism, we are giving a public testimony that we're going to live according to what the Lord has done for us, that we're going to live our lives according to the change that He has made in us. When you go down in the water, it symbolizes the burial of that old sinful man. And when you come up out of the water, it symbolizes that we are going to walk differently. We're going to live differently. We're going to walk in newness of life. We're going to follow the Lord now. We're going to be His disciples and His children, and we're going to do according to His word. We're not going to live anymore to ourselves, but we're going to live unto Him that died for us and that rose from the dead. We're going to live unto Him that died for our sins and rose again for our justification. And listen, when we serve the Lord, when we live for Him, we need to do that with all that we have. We don't need to give God a half-hearted service. We need to honor the Lord. As the Solomon told us in the third proverb, he said, honor the Lord with all thy substance and with the first fruits of all that increase. We are to honor Him with our whole heart. We're not to do just a little bit for the Lord. We're not to be of the attitude, well, I'll do just a little bit for the Lord. I'll do something for Him if it doesn't hinder me or if it doesn't get in the way of something that I'm going to do. No, God must be first. He must be first in your life or He will not accept your service. That's one of the things that we spoke about this week. And as we read there from Exodus 20 and studied about the moral law of God, about the Ten Commandments, we find that God, when He gave those to Israel, He told them right from the very onset, right from the very beginning, that you have to put me first. You shall have no other gods before me. I'm a jealous God, and I must be first. And listen, that's all that God will accept from us as His people. God will not take a back seat to anybody or anything. If you don't put God first in your life, then He won't accept that from you. He will not accept your service if you don't honor Him first and foremost in everything that we do. There was something, and you know what? Honestly, I've heard this before. I've thought about it before. It was not a new thought. But I want to say this, and I say this with great sincerity. I'm not saying this just because it's the thing to say, but I really enjoyed listening to my brethren this past week teach the lessons that they did concerning God's commandments. And there was something that Brother Copas said the night that he taught And like I said, it wasn't anything new. I've heard it before. I've thought about it before. But for some reason, when he mentioned it that night, it just stuck in my heart and in my mind. And he spoke about when we come together here in our assembly, when we come together to worship, are we here today? Are we here from week to week? When we assemble ourselves together, are we worshiping God with everything? Are we worshiping the Lord with our whole heart? Or are we here today with our mind somewhere else, our heart somewhere else? Are we here today to worship the Lord and to give to Him and to just leave the world behind us? Or are we concerned with something that we have going on maybe a little bit later on in the afternoon? Have we given ourselves today wholly over to the worship of the Lord? It's a big question, isn't it? Well, I know this, that if we don't, God won't be pleased with us today. He won't be pleased with us, with our assembly. From time to time, if we don't come together and worship Him with our whole heart, He expects everything. God expects everything. If you look in the, and I'll just give you some references. If you look in Psalm 111, verse 1, Psalm 138, verse 1, those verses tell us that if we're going to praise the Lord, if we're going to give Him praise that is acceptable unto Him, that it has to be a praise with the whole heart, that we have to praise Him with our whole heart, that we have to give Him that type of praise in order for it to be acceptable unto the Lord. In Romans chapter 12, in the first two verses, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans, and he said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And listen, when we come together and we unite and we assemble to worship the Lord, if we don't give everything to Him, if we don't worship the Lord with our whole heart, then we need not look for the great outpouring of His Spirit and His power upon us. God's a jealous God. He owns us. You know that? Let me ask you this. If God has saved you, has it sunk into your mind and in your heart that you no longer belong to yourself? Have you grasped that concept that you don't belong to yourself anymore? That you are God's possession? What is redemption? What does it mean that God redeemed us? Well, it means that He bought us. He purchased us. And the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, he said, he told them that they were to glorify God with all that they were because He owns them. We are God's purchased possession. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, he said, which are God's. He said, you're not your own. He told them, he said, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price, and you're not your own. And that's what happened when we were redeemed. God bought us with a price. What was that price? It was the blood of Jesus Christ. It was the blood of Christ that He used to redeem us, to purchase us. And we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to the Lord. Everything that we have and everything that we are belongs to the Lord. Listen, if you think that he's asking too much, then what about this? What about what he gave in order for us to be saved? When God made the sacrifice for us to be saved, did he give the worst that he had, or did he give the best? He gave the best, didn't he? God gave the best that he had. And when Jesus came here to the world to make the atonement, when he came here to the world to die for our sins, the Bible says that Paul, in his writing to the Philippians, in Philippians chapter 2, he said that Christ humbled himself, and that word means emptied. He emptied himself. He poured it all out. He gave it all. He gave everything in order for us to be able to be saved. Listen, God did not hold back anything that was necessary for us to be able to have redemption. He gave all of it. And we ought to give it all to him. We ought to honor him with our whole heart. Listen, if there's something that we have in our lives, if serving God is going to keep us from doing something that maybe we want to do, then we need to give it up. We need to give it up for the Lord. We need to serve him and honor him with our whole heart. And I want to encourage those who are being baptized today to start today and strive to honor the Lord and to serve the Lord and to live for the Lord with your whole heart, realizing that's what God deserves. That's what God is worthy of. He's worthy of our life. He's worthy of us giving to him everything that we have and everything that we are, and surrendering to him. I believe that's what Paul was talking about there. In Romans chapter 12, in those first two verses, I believe that's what he was talking about, a total surrender to the service of God, presenting yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Listen, if we're not acceptable unto God, if our service is not acceptable unto God, then it doesn't mean anything. It's got to be that first. It's got to be acceptable unto God to be beneficial to anybody else. And so we're going to get ready to observe the ordinance of baptism. And like I said, when we do this, we don't baptize anybody. Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church does not baptize anybody that cannot give an account of having been saved, that cannot testify of having passed from death unto life. And the reason for that is because it wouldn't do them any good. Baptism wouldn't do them any good at all if they could not testify of having been saved and having passed from death unto life, because baptism is not for the purpose of saving anybody, but it is to show in a figure what God has done for us. And it is an initiatory rite into the membership of the Lord's church. When these two young converts are baptized today, they're going to be members of Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church. And let's pray for them. And let's pray that they will yield themselves wholly, completely to the Lord and give their whole heart to his service. So I'm going to ask Hannah and John Peter if they would to come at this time. And I'm going to ask Brother Ernie if he would to start some songs, and we're going to go back and prepare for their baptism.